With the World Cup underway, the U.S. is having a big match on Friday. We are bringing in our buddy 92.9 The Game's Abe Gordon, and our conversation with Abe is brought to you by Salomon Brothers Jewelers. The world is watching greatness. Celebrate yours at Salomon Brothers, Buckhead, Alpharetta, Sharpsburg. Abe, before we get into the World Cup, how many miles did you run this morning?
Six and a half, maybe seven. It was a track workout, so it's tough to, like, we don't really keep track of the overall mileage, just the reps. So,
how was the humidity?
Not too bad. It was misting and kind of rainy a little bit, and so not too bad. Not too bad today.
Well, so far, how are you enjoying the World Cup? I mean, what match coming up today do you not want to miss?
I mean, if you're looking at today, England-Croatia, 4 o'clock, I think, one, it's probably going to decide Group L if either team can get 3 points. If it's a draw, then obviously Group L turns into a crapshoot between those two teams in terms of goal differential and getting the other results against the two lesser opponents, Panama and Ghana, in that group. But England-Croatia is obviously the big one. England's kind of looked at as that second tier of teams that could win this whole thing. If you believe Spain, France, Argentina are probably the top three. The next group's like Portugal, who you'll see today, England, stuff like that. But Croatia is a little bit older, but they've had some real success at the World Cup. So that's the big one today.
It's a little bit of a slow start, so to speak, for France yesterday against Senegal. I mean, they just looked like, I know, they looked very lethargic out there in that first half, but then they kicked it up with Mbappe. Did they show you enough yesterday in that second half?
They absolutely did. I think you saw it from Spain against Cabo Verde as well. There's a little bit of disinterest. There's a little bit of underestimating your opponent, stuff like that. The difference was Spain tried to turn it on and couldn't. When France turned it on, you saw the result. And I understand, like, Thierry Henry's frustration yesterday with some of the analysis of Landon Donovan. But at the end of the day, this is a team, and we've seen some of these big powers, the opponents maybe didn't get taken as seriously as they needed to. That kind of did happen to France a little
bit.
But the difference is when they turned it on, they turned it on. Kylian Mbappe goes for 2 goals. It felt to me like the World Cup arrived yesterday because you had 3 big stars all showcasing throughout the day.
Yeah, I don't want to get to the stars later, but yeah. I want to ask you real quick about the VAR of the foul inside the non-foul inside the box on Mbappe. What, first off, personally, they, and I think it was Donovan, said he didn't think it was enough.
Mm-hmm.
I personally, from a high school soccer background, I disagreed. I thought that should have been called. There was at no point he made a play on the ball, but never touched the ball. Only took out Mbappe. It was, to me, it was not necessarily, he was not necessarily going to score on it, but it was a situation where they could have. It was an opportunity for them. What'd you make of the review and the decision by the referee to not call it?
Yeah, I think there's a lot of factors that you look at, and this is my interpretation. Everyone can interpret what they believe is a foul differently. In my opinion, if the ball is gone, if there's no chance to recover the ball, it's got to be more egregious than if the ball could be recovered. So I think that's part of it. I also do not like the idea that these fouls are reviewed in slow motion, because everything looks worse in slow motion. That's in football, that's in basketball, that's everywhere. And so I don't like them being reviewed in slow motion, but I understand the necessity to do so. And then it's just about, is Mbappe doing more than the contact created? And so when you value those 3 things, it's going to look worse in slow motion. Was the ball gone? Is Mbappe embellishing a little bit? Then you combine them and kind of be like, all right, we're going to let this one play on.
We've got Abe Gordon, our soccer insider, joining us right now on the morning shift. We've all got eyes on the U.S. on Friday. What is your read on this match with Australia?
Yeah, I think it's unexpected, but it's now going to be the one that decides the group. I think we all looked at Turkey A as the opponent, third match day. That's right. They changed the name, Bo. I can't help it. You know what I mean?
I just laugh at you.
I didn't make the rules.
No, it just makes me laugh. Your enunciations,
that's
you're
how
all
it
grown
is.
Up. You're so proper over there.
It's not Turkey anymore. It's Turkey A. Mm-hmm. I didn't make the rules. But it was expected that would be the match that decides Group D, is the third match day. It's not. It's going to be this one against Australia because of Australia's, as far as we can go and look at the results, of the results that turned into wins, I think Australia over Turkey is as significant as any other of the, quote, upsets that we've seen across any of the groups. And so now you've got to ramp it up against Australia to decide the group. And I think it's a pretty good setup for the U.S. I just think if they can continue to be aggressive, attack the way they did, the creativity on the ball, they can just simply do things that Australia can't. So now it's about, can you limit mistakes? That, to me, is going to be the key for the U.S. Because I think just man for man, team versus team, if they play at their top, it's a level that Australia can't reach.
But we got to talk about the elephant in the room when it comes to the Team U.S. because Christian Pulisic wasn't in group practice yesterday, did more solo stuff. Do you expect him to be ready for Friday?
Yeah, I think so. I understand they don't want to take any chances. They don't want any minor knocks just in practice. But I think we've all been at some point, and Bo, you played, you said high school soccer. I think we've all been kicked in the calf. It gets sore for a couple of days, but ultimately you can probably go on it. I think they're just going to be extra careful, but I would imagine that he'll be fine. He'll be good to go.
Yeah, in high school, I was the one kicking the calves more than
getting yellow cards
kicked.
Out there, Bo.
Yeah, hey, I might have got a few. You mentioned earlier we had, you know, kind of the big three yesterday, Messi, Mbappe, and then our Norwegian from Norway, Holland, I think.
Yeah.
It's still Norway, right? They haven't changed the name yet?
Not yet. They're still Norway.
Norway A or anything
no,
like that?
No, it's just Norway.
Yeah, okay, good. Just want to make sure. Is Messi still the best player in the world, or did Mbappe kind of take that crown a little bit late in the World Cup a few years ago? I don't know. I ask you because in my old school mind, I still think of Messi being the best in the world, but he might not have that crown anymore.
Yeah, it's tough. I don't know if he's the best in the world, but I think he's the guy that probably impacts the game more than anyone else. I think Erling Haaland obviously does what he does up top. He may be the best pure goal scorer in the world, and we got two of those from him yesterday.
Yeah, he also looks like the bad guy from Mighty Ducks. What is it, two or three?
Sure, I mean, that's Iceland, obviously.
Yeah, but I know, but he still looks like
they're all up there together, right? but, yeah, it just impacts the game. The everything flows to Messi defensively, and it has to. And you know, there's been a lot of discussion in the past couple of days, but certainly yesterday and even this morning, about like this guy is looking one way in MLS. Will he look that way in the World Cup? Well, the answer is yes. That's just how good he is. He's not dominating in MLS because it's MLS. He's dominating in MLS because he's one of, if not to your point, Bo, the best players in the world. Everything flows to him. Defensively, you gravitate to him, and that's going to open things up. Having a hat trick last night is going to open things up for other guys on that team to start to score goals outside of him. It's astonishing to see what he's doing at his age. A lot of people thought maybe we don't get him starting. What sort of could he do for 80, 90 minutes? He's just so darn good, and it doesn't slow down. I don't know if he's the best player in the world, but I think he's probably the most important player to his team.
On a day where three of the biggest stars in the world played, everybody scored two but him of those three,
yeah.
And he went for three. I think it's, you know, it's an amazing amazing feat what he did yesterday, really.
Yeah, it was. And look, Mbappe almost had a couple. Senegal's a really good team.
Your boy Henri kept saying that yesterday at halftime, mm-hmm. because Alexi went after him, and Alexi Lawless. And then
Landon Donovan on the game broadcast kind of went after him, and then Lawless in the analysis went after him as well. Look, Senegal's dangerous. They're probably going to get out of their group. They can absolutely win a knockout stage game, and then who knows what happens when you get to the round of 16. It's all going to be matchup based. But France showed me, when you compare to what we saw from Spain, because it looked like Spain and France were the top two teams by many people's presumptions. Obviously, Argentina showed what they showed. Spain draws Cabo here in Atlanta. France does what they do to a really good Senegal team.
Yeah.
I had picked France coming into the tournament. Again, slow first half, totally get that. I still think they're the team to beat.
It was a really good first half. It was a really good first half. It's just that they got outplayed by Senegal and it wasn't expected.
Yeah.
But I got it. I agree with you. The way France came out in the second half, Allie, they absolutely just showed that they're still one of the world leaders.
Well, Abe, I don't know if you classify yourself. Madison Cruz was on with us the other day, and she called herself a sicko for watching all the matches, like, nonstop. So I'm sure you're seeing a growing storyline that nobody seems to be catching on to yet. What country is going under the radar right now?
In terms of the country that's under the radar, we obviously can't talk about Senegal because France took care of them yesterday. I'm just looking at all the groups and who's doing what. Group B is really interesting, and all the teams played to a draw. I think Switzerland can get out of this on top, and a lot of people looked at Canada as the host nation as having an opportunity. I think Switzerland ultimately is going to come there. And then Group G is in the same situation where Belgium got just the 1 point. That now opens things up for Egypt and Iran. That's the storyline that I'm looking at, is not necessarily one country, but how well the African teams are doing. Egypt and Iran are going to have an opportunity to win their group. Ivory Coast had a surprise victory there over Ecuador. They obviously have to deal with Germany, but they're going to have an opportunity in that group as well. So, and Senegal and Morocco are very good, too.
I want to go back to the group that Group D,
yeah,
which Jason had told us he thought was a group of death. Madison said she thought it was one of the tougher ones. If America could win, say 1-0 on Friday, mm-hmm. on Friday against Australia, having with two wins obviously puts you up there. But the goal differential is one something I want to touch on, because I don't think people do a lot of think of it, because it used to be, and maybe it's changed. You know, like Turkey changed to Turkey, but like, is that? Could that be, that goal differential being at +4 at that point, kind of maybe be a really big thing setting America up to make the elimination?
Yeah, I mean, look, first off, if you get a win against Australia, you're advancing. Now, the question at that point is, in that third match against Turkey, is it first in the group?
I can't help it. He makes me laugh. Go ahead. I know you're right.
Sorry,
guys,
I'm being prim and proper here.
Abe is pronouncing it right. I'm sorry. Just, you looked at me when you said it.
You're, well, because like, you want to make fun of me anyways.
You're over here.
Look, if you get 6 points, you're winning, you're advancing in first and second place. The question is, that point is, what's the result needed against, say it?
No,
Turkey A. In that final group stage game. So, yes, goal differential does come into play, but then you already took down, and you see what Turkey A, what they would have to do. They're already down two.
Yeah.
Right? If you beat Australia, they're the only ones who theoretically could get a big win against Paraguay and potentially beat you heads up in that final match day and still win the group. It's up to you. If you get 3 points against Australia, you get to decide if you want, really are pushing all in for the group, because you can at that point even take a loss potentially and goal differential your way to first.
And based on the matchup they would get in that elimination round, right?
Like, if you win the group, D, you're getting a third place team.
Okay.
Now,
so
we don't know that. We don't necessarily know yet from which group, but ideally a third place team is a third place team. But you're also looking at a couple of groups where, like, hey, a third place team right now out of Group C, Morocco as a third place team is dangerous. Right?
Didn't they beat us recently? Was it Morocco? I feel like a couple years ago we lost to a smaller country like that.
There's been a couple of rough goes in the recent years, but that's neither here nor there. But like, if Scotland and Brazil end up going 1-2 in that group and Morocco advances, you know, that's a problem. Same with Group E. Like right now, Ivory Coast, you want to go with their French pronunciation there, Bo? Côte d'Ivoire?
There you go.
You know, Ecuador is another team people look at as being a very dangerous side, but they fell in their opening match to Ivory Coast. And so you look at being a third-place team as ideal a matchup, it might not work out that way. Japan could be third place.
Yeah.
They're a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And
they clean up the stands afterwards.
They do. And so third-place teams, you look at it as a favorable matchup, it could be as difficult as if you were just finished second in the group and played a second-place team.
Abe, we only have a few seconds left, but I've only seen rave reviews on social media from the match the other day that we had here in Atlanta. How do you think Atlanta is showing up?
Look, obviously Spain was going to show up. This is kind of the unofficial headquarters. I know officially the team is up there in Chattanooga, but with a second game coming here in Atlanta, you knew they were going to kind of take over. Really interested to see what we are looking at tomorrow, because Czechia and South Africa, they have both had to travel here, and it'll be interesting to see. I think people are just having fun. And I think that's the World Cup feeling, mm-hmm. just not just in Atlanta, but like kind of everywhere. It's a big party in, what is it, 16 U.S. cities, 3 or 4 Mexican cities, and 2 or 3, 4 Canadian cities. Like, they're just big parties for weeks at a time. And it's not just on game day. It's going out to bars to see the other games. Obviously, Dukes and Bell and they've got watch parties all over the place, you know, here sponsored by 92.9 and Michelob Ultra. It's just like, they're packed.
I mean,
and people are just doing what they do in the middle of the day, which is awesome.
It's just been so much fun between the tourists here in America discovering everything about our culture, and then the atmosphere I was seeing on social media from the match the other day over at Atlanta Stadium. The World Cup has just been so fun. Abe, we appreciate the time. Thank you for coming in.
Enjoy the games today.
We will. Find Abe on all the socials at Abe Gordon. This hour has been brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com and get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. That is going to do it for us. For Mike, Bo, Dylan, and myself, Allie Mack, thanks for being here today. The Steakhouse is coming up next on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And don't forget to...
It's Turkey A.